This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu and you're listening to Raise a Game. With me today is Nusair Nas Yassin, a famous vlogger and influencer of Nas Daily, here to discuss his book, Around the World in 60 Seconds, his 1,000-day journey to 64 countries. Nas, such a pleasure to be speaking to you. I do follow your stories and all that, and it's very intriguing. We've got to start at the beginning. You quit your job as a software coder for Venmo, gathered your savings and traveled the world while sharing experiences online. What made you decide to do that? Now, tell me that in a minute. I'm just kidding.
Okay. First of all, hello, Malaysia. Thank you so much, guys, for having me on air. My name is Nas Daily. I make videos. I cannot enter Malaysia, so I'm happy at least my voice is entering Malaysia. Why did I quit and start making videos? It's very simple. Nobody cares about us. Right. Nobody cares about Malaysia. Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about my people. It's true. Most people care about, you know, people in Hollywood or people in New York or London.
Right.
And the whole idea was like, how can we get our voices heard to, how can we get our voices to be louder and more impactful and heard more? And part of that, I decided that it's good to start making videos and share those videos and those ideas and those opinions to, with the rest of the world on Facebook. And to my surprise, people started hearing more.
Right.
So this is part of the reason why sort of I started the Nas Daily channel. And to my surprise, it worked out.
Mm. Now, you've garnered about 13 million followers on your journey. Now, when you started, you know, how did you get yourself out there? How did you promote your content? I mean, in the early days, like, and who are you, right?
It's around 14 and a half now. Mm. Sorry. It's
okay, 14 and a half. Okay.
So how did it start? Like, how did it work out?
Yes.
It's simple. I think all you need is a critical mass. And the critical mass, honestly, is just like 10 people. Mm. All you need is 10 people to get your voice heard. And so my 10 people were my friends. I said, hey, friends, my Facebook friends, I want you to see my videos and share them if you like them. That's it.
Right.
Then they liked some of them. Then they started sharing them more. They liked other ones more. Then they started sharing them more. And so you go from 10 to 15 to 20 to 1,000 to 1 million to 10 million to 15 million. You know, that's usually how it works. But really all you need is like the smallest critical mass. And if they like your content, they will make sure their friends see it.
Right. You know, you've produced thought-provoking videos. You know, they cover the issue of segregation and you've been to war zones. Right. Through your videos, you allow millions of people to see what you see. Now, was this what you expected when you planned your trip and content? Was that the purpose?
No.
Okay.
The purpose was to be true to myself. The purpose was to say what I deeply believe in. And slowly but surely, you know, it turns out that the things I deeply believe in happen to be the controversial things or the things that are sensitive in nature. And so, like, I don't deeply believe in makeup. So I don't necessarily make videos about makeup. I don't deeply believe in, you know, in a beach. So I don't make a video about a beach necessarily. So I deeply believe that Jews and Muslims should live together.
Right.
I deeply believe that Israel and Palestine should have peace. I deeply believe that the stories of Malaysians should be heard. I deeply believe in those ideas, and so I make videos about that stuff. Obviously, not everyone likes my opinion, but that's okay. That's the beauty of conversations.
Right. And when you say that some people don't like your idea, how do you deal with that?
Look, nobody hates a clown. Simple as that. Nobody hates a clown. A clown comes to your room. They make you happy. They do some stupid stuff. And then they leave. And then everybody likes the performance. And so if something is not important enough, it is not hated. Only things that are important enough are hated. And so therefore, you know, a lot of people hated Gandhi. A lot of people hated Barack
Mandela.
Obama. A lot of people hate CEOs of companies. A lot of people hate anyone that has an opinion that is about an important thing. And so when people don't like my opinions, it makes me happy because it means the videos and the topics we're discussing are important. And that's the point of living, is to discuss the important topics rather than just like hang out and do nothing.
Right. And obviously these sort of things as you move on requires, you know, money and all that. And you have obviously sponsors and advertisers. And these, I guess, are organizations that believe in what you do. And they are out there.
Correct. Mm. So the way it works is very simple. If you index for money, you lose attention. If you index for attention, you make money.
Right.
So what I mean by that is if you go after the money, people will not pay attention to you. So if I have a Coca-Cola advertisement on my Facebook page every single day, no one will pay attention. But if you have people's attention, if you have a million person's attention, Coca-Cola will come after you and be like, hey, please let us be part of this journey. So the minute we hit sort of the minute I hit like a million followers and above, you know, corporations started to come in and say, hey, we want to give you money to make videos about us. And if a corporation's and the product is sort of the same as my values, it aligns with my values, then for sure that is a win-win situation. Hmm. And now I have a company in Singapore that creates videos for other corporations, like a studio, where sort of we can tell the stories of corporations and of individuals,
right?
And that's how we can make money as well.
Right. So when you started out, I mean, this whole idea, this whole journey, were you always so woke, as they would say?
Woke? I've never been called woke in my life, by the way. This is the first time. I don't think I'm woke. I don't think I'm woke right now. But was I always so sort of like confident of what I'm saying? No.
Right.
My first year, I was, you know, I was like, you know, I'm not sure what's happening kind of way, right? So it takes a while. Mm. It takes a while to sort of understand who you are and what you believe in. Mm-hmm. And so it took me a while, but now I think I got there. I think I got there. Right. And I think everyone needs to ask themselves the question is like, did you get there? Mm-hmm. Do you know exactly where you stand on the most sensitive topics in the world?
Right.
If you do, then you're consistent. And, you know, as Lee Kuan Yew said, you know, like it's if there's one word to describe him, out of every word in the dictionary, the word he chooses is consistent.
Right.
And so when you're consistent with your thoughts, you evolve, of course, but when you're consistent with your logic, then you just become more and more confident. And I think that's very important.
Right. When you say you're consistent with your thought and logic, and having been in 64 countries and seeing different people, have you changed your opinion about certain, you know, or certain beliefs that you had?
Yes. So the rationale, sort of the logic is consistent, but what I believe in may not be consistent. So,
right.
you know, when I was a kid in a village, I didn't believe in homosexuality, for example, simply because I didn't meet anyone who's homosexual.
Hmm.
But slowly but surely, like, you know, you should start to change and evolve your opinion based on the new facts that are given to you as you travel more, as you see the world more, as you hear more stories. And so now, of course, you know, I support it. Mm. So in a way, the more I saw of the world, to be honest with you, the more I saw of the world, the more wrong I realized I was when it comes to everything. You know, we all live in villages, and I lived in a village, and I thought I was right. When it comes to everything,
right?
Because my village said they're right. So my village elders, when it comes to religion, when it comes to work, environment, money. So the more you travel, really, the more you'll open your eyes. But what should remain consistent is sort of your view on where the world should be. Mm. Like the world, like should not have. We should not sort of value materialism, for example, right?
Mm.
So that's consistent. Like you think that as a kid, and you should think that when you're about to die.
Right.
Nothing in the world will make me change my mind that materialism is good, or this whole buy mentality is good. So. That's one of the examples.
I'm speaking to Nusair Nas Yassin. We, of course, know him from Nas Daily. We'll continue our conversation and talk a little bit more about his book, Around the World in 60 Seconds. Stay tuned to Razor Game, BFM 89.9.
Beats, funk, mixtapes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to Race Again. Good morning. This is Freya Liu. I'm very enlightened to be speaking to Nusair Nasir Yassin, who is a famous vlogger and influencer of Nas Daily. He's got a new book out, Around the World in 60 Seconds, and is a 1,000-day journey to 64 countries. And of course, you would have seen this video. I know I have. We're going to go into your book, and we're going to start in part two of your book. There's a section called Malaysia, airport prisoner. Tell me more. Were you surprised?
So I actually, in my book, I kind of share sort of the details behind the story of what happened. Unfortunately, because I cannot enter Malaysia, I kind of, I can only make videos from the outside. Mm. And so the airport prisoner, the guy who was stuck in the airport, if he was stuck in Denmark, it's the same thing. Right. If he was stuck in Singapore, it's the same thing. Mm. Mm. So it's really not an anti-Malaysia thing. It's just, let us look at this guy and this person and let us help him. But I really do, I'm actually thinking of like literally buying a new passport from like the Caribbeans to come to Malaysia and see it. I think it'd be worth it.
It would be, we'd love to have you. I love to have you here and do a face-to-face interview. You have a habit of going to places that you can't go. The other one being Pakistan. What was that trip like?
Well, I couldn't go. The Pakistan thing is just I had sort of followers in Pakistan, and I talk about this a lot in the book, right, which is incredible to be able to the power of the internet and the radio and all that stuff is crazy to believe that my book is in Pakistan, but my physical body is not.
Right.
My videos are in Pakistan, but my physical body is not. My ideas are in Pakistan, but my physical body is not. And it's like, I'm happy that we haven't banned ideas and thoughts from entering countries like in China. But I hope one day we don't need to ban anyone from anything. Like I wish no Malaysian is banned from entering Israel. I wish no Israeli is banned from entering Malaysia. I wish no, like North Korea, everybody can enter. I wish every North Korean can enter every country. Mm. That's obviously an idealist dream that is like, quite frankly, to be laughed at. But baby steps.
Yeah.
We've got 2,000 more years of civilization.
Right. Now, before we go into other stories, what made you decide to compile this all into a book, though?
Why? Yeah. Because there's a lot of, the videos have been quite successful. Mm. But the problem is they're only 1 minute long. And there's a lot that happened sort of behind the scenes of these videos that I kind of wanted to sort of go deeper into. And another part is that there's a lot of people that prefer to read books that don't even watch Facebook.
Right.
And I want to reach these people. I want to reach everybody wherever they are in the world in any form possible. So making videos on Facebook is one way, but nowadays I should reach them in a book format because they like to read books. So I'm going to find them. So I wrote this book just to find them and tell them, this is the story of Nas Daily. I think you will like it. If you go in depth of this story, you will like it. So please go in depth.
Even with your videos, I'm really impressed how you're able to compile all the key messages in a minute and to get such powerful messages across. Now, one of the things as well, your experience in Jerusalem, like between the Jews and the Arabs, and this issue, I believe, is very personal to you since you are a Palestinian Israeli. Yes. What did you learn from that part of your journey, of your story?
What I learned is really boring. It's the fact that the world is not as black or as white as we paint it. Mm. I paint the world as black or white sometimes, and I'm guilty of that. Everybody is guilty of that. Every human is guilty of that. But in Israel and Palestine, it's a really gray area. There's a reason we've been fighting for 7 years because, people like the solution is not easy, and so it's really sort of kind of hurtful when people from the outside of Israel and Palestine think that it's an easy solution. Take over Israel or take over Palestine or kill all the Palestinians or kill all the Israelis. It doesn't work like that. And so I wish people from the outside understood how complicated Israel and Palestine is. And maybe then they realized maybe not all Israelis are bad and maybe not all Palestinians are bad.
Right.
Because I grew up in the middle. I'm Palestinian, but I live in Israel. And it's like, it's a background I never chose for myself. I don't recommend this background, but it really opens your eyes to the complexities of this conflict.
What was it like growing up, though, as a Palestinian in Israel?
It sucks. It sucks. You know, you grow in a country where you know you don't have a future. And you grow in a place where you know you're second class. You know, I don't matter. My voice doesn't matter as much as a Jewish voice. But you also grow in a place where people hate you because of where you come from. And I'm like, I didn't choose to live in Israel, but I was born and raised there. And then you get, you know, people in Malaysia say, well, screw you, you're Israeli. And I'm like, hold on a minute. You know? You know, so Malaysians say, you know, some Malaysians say, screw you, you're Israeli. And then some Israelis say, screw you, you're Palestinian.
Right.
And I'm like, well, it's a double whammy. You can't win. Both people hate you for things you didn't control. So that's why I decided to escape after 20 years. And I escaped to the United States because I wanted to be in a place where your race doesn't matter. Right. Or where your religion, for the most part, doesn't matter. And this is why I also like to be in Singapore. It's like your race and your religion don't matter. It's are you good or are you not good enough? That's the only thing that matters. We only want the good. I was like, I like that. This is why I find home right here in Singapore. So
I'll definitely come by and hopefully do an interview with you in Singapore. This was not featured in your book, but North Korea. I saw that video, right? And you said North Korea is like a prison with 23 million inmates living in the year 1950. And it's one of the worst countries in the world. One of the most is depressing. Tell me about that story. I know we saw that in a minute, but what was the experience like?
Yes. So North Korea is not in the book because I only made that video after the book. I made two videos, one 5 years ago and one now. North Korea, I think, you know, if you look at all your friends sort of look the same or behave the same or have the same ambitions or have the same thoughts. Same with my friends. But that's not the human race. The human race is incredibly extreme. So what I really opened my eyes about North Korea is that it is an extreme form of humanity that you don't see in Malaysia, you don't see in Israel. It's an extreme form of thought, of governance, of trade, of life. And so it opens your eyes to the idea that humans are malleable. They are shaped differently. If you give someone a propaganda for 20 years, they will become a propaganda machine. And that's sad. It's really sad. So if humans are very flexible, then maybe we should every day try to shape them into becoming something better rather than something worse.
Let's talk about some places you enjoy. Let's talk about Iceland, one of the most different from any place that you've ever been.
Yes. I highly recommend Iceland to every person in Malaysia or every person in the world.
Right.
But I don't recommend the prices of Iceland. It is the most expensive place I've been to in my life. It is borderline ridiculous. However, I think it's also another extreme place when it comes to nature. You know, if anybody wants to visit the moon, well, you don't have to spend $1 billion just to get to the moon. Just go to Iceland.
Right.
It's literally before the astronauts went to the moon. They went to Iceland to train.
Right.
And so it gives you an appreciation of the nature. North Korea gives you an appreciation of the people.
Right.
Singapore gives me an appreciation of society. And so every place you visit gives you an appreciation of something different.
And having been to so many countries, is there a favorite?
Do you have kids?
I do.
How many kids?
Just the one, 17.
So who's your favorite kid? The one, right?
He's the one.
Then it would be a weird question. It would be difficult to find an answer. For me, it's very difficult to find a favorite because every country or every video I made, at least in those countries, feels like a kid to me. But the kid that I enjoy the most... I would say, you know, Singapore, there's a reason I live here. It's one of my favorites. But also, you know, Papua New Guinea right nearby is one of my favorites too, for different reasons. Mm. Israel is my favorite for my family. My family lives there. You know, Iceland is my favorite for nature. So there's a favorite for it depending on one thing. But to live, right now, Singapore is my favorite.
Right. So what can we expect from NAS Daily 2020 and beyond?
Well, I'm not going anywhere anytime soon. So I'm still going to show up on your Facebook feed.
Okay.
To make sure that I know you every day. And also, you know, we're building a company here in Singapore. We're building like a, we want to build like a 100-year-old company that builds a better tomorrow. Mm. Simple as that, right? We want to make videos, tell stories, show people, show countries, show corporations, show everything, tell the story of everybody and everywhere to get them more heard. That's it. So that's what the company does. We make videos for the world to see. And, you know, now we're 15 people and we're all video makers. And hopefully next year we'll grow to 100.
Right.
And we'll make even more videos and you'll see even more of my face and of other people's faces. And we believe that's one of the best ways to change the world.
Right. And of course, people can get hold of your book, Around the World in 60 Seconds in MPH. And they can get hold of you, I guess, online as well?
Yes. It's all available online on Amazon and everywhere, pretty much.
All right. Thank you for speaking to us, and thank you for the work that you do.
Thank you. Thank you so much having me.
Right.
And hopefully one day we get to meet in person.
Yes. Nasser Nas Yassin, of course, you know from Nas Daily. You've been listening to Racy Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.